Yeah. Hey. Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Browers Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I'm glad you're with us today and hope you guys are enjoying yourself and having a fantastic Thursday today. Be sure to check out the product of the week. Y'all voted in it one yesterday, the thyroid support. This is our top-tier thyroid supplement that we developed years ago. Incredibly good formula. It helps out with the body's production of T3 and T4. Really helps burn body fat and also maintains overall healthy thyroid functioning. I was reading it again because, you know, a lot of times we build these products and we have them for years and take them, use them, and I don't ever really go into detail as far as the ingredient list after we get them together because they work fine. They work great, actually. And what's interesting, this is one of the only thyroid supplements you'll find on the market that is full bovine-based. We did this because preferably we like to use bovine products, not porcine, which most thyroid products are almost always derived from
pork.
Pigs. Porcine. Yep. And so this product is all bovine, Argentine beef. And one of the main things we have in here is the thyroid gland powder from Argentina beef, adrenal gland, Irish moss, anterior pituitary gland, bladder wax, spleen, and thymus gland, all of which they're developed and designed to work effectively at maintaining healthy thyroid, really helps out with body's metabolism and overall health. Because you got to remember, I was reading an article here earlier, and it was talking about how the thyroid hormone activates over 100 different enzymes in the body, and the thyroid functions and works with the pituitary, the adrenal gland, the kidneys, and the liver. It's not just a standalone organ. A lot of people fail to realize that, as it functions with all other organs, and it's crucial to maintain overall thyroid health, proper thyroid hormone production in order to maintain maintenance and health of all these other hormones and organs in the body. So be sure to check it out. It's on sale for over 12% off right now at healthmasters.com. And we've built a nice little stack over here for you so you guys can see it on the show. Thyroid support on sale, over 12% off. Do some reading on it and give it a shot and give us your feedback on it. And also, too, give us your feedback if you've already tried it and used it on team_healthmasters at Instagram. And be sure to like, follow, and give us some comments on there as we're really rebuilding that platform again. So thank you for your support on that. One of the first things I had to cover today, my buddy sent me the photo, and I actually thought it was a joke at first, and it is not. The U.S. Navy posted a photo on their actual U.S. Navy Twitter and online site of their commander, and what's crazy about this is everybody's already been roasting him. It's Commander Cameron Yeast allegedly shooting rounds from the ship on his M4, and his Trigicon optic is backwards, which, if anybody's shot with optics and glass, you already know this is a joke. The sad part about this is the way he's holding the gun with his chicken wing arm out, and the whole platform is weird. And I get it's the Navy. I mean, you know, I get it, not picking on anybody. But this was embarrassing at its highest level. And the fact that this went out globally from the U.S. Navy, my opinion on this is either was a really bad photo op that just went sideways and they handed him a gun and somebody, I guess, and put the optic on backwards. I still don't know how that passed any type of quality control check in the armory, but it was just a photo op and it was a slip. Or this was done intentionally, again, to discredit the United States and the U.S. military by making us look like a bunch of yahoos, where you have the commander of an entire naval vessel shooting an AR with a backwards optic on it. You can't get much sloppier than this and post this globally for everybody to see. So like I said, again, was this just a photo op gone bad and somebody handed him a gun, or was this intentionally done to really discredit the U.S. military even further, as they've already done now with the entire positions they put in place with the transgenders and everything else they've added to the U.S. military? I don't know. You be the judge of it. I'm not putting conspiracy theory out there. I'm just asking questions. But I do find it to be strangely odd that you have the U.S. Navy, the commander of this guy, and this photo going out globally. Is pretty embarrassing. What do you think?
Well, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago in brief. And, you know, because, you know, I didn't really want to push it very hard. You know, you talked about it then, and we both laughed about it. And now everybody else is picking up on the story after we talked about it weeks ago. And so now it's come back, so I guess, you know, we'll cover it again for a second. You know, if you look at it, if you look through it, remember when you were a kid, you used to look through it like a telescope. You have a little telescope. You look through it backwards, everything gets really far away. You know, optics aren't designed to put on backwards, obviously. Everybody knows that. And like also said, the elbow's way up in the air. And the sad part about it is that, you know, who's putting this stuff together for him? Because obviously it was a photo op. Obviously he wasn't looking through the scope. Okay, we got that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously he's not trying to shoot. He said they were shooting some kind of tomato or something, or whatever that means. I guess it's a target out of the ocean. But the reality is that, you know, we've got to ask ourselves a question. How important is it for the commander to know how to put a gun together? It's pretty important because, you know, this is up, you know, top down leadership as far as in the military, and everybody needs to be trained at every different position. I know with Publix, you know, I'm not talking, nor am I promoting Publix, but what I'll say is this: they always start everybody at the lowest positions as far as getting them acclimated to what Publix is. And Publix has been responsible for making more millionaires in Central Florida than any other company, I guess, in history. Because they, like, if you buy stock, they batch the amount of stock purchases. They're a privately held company. They are not owned by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. Imagine that, because they're not publicly traded. But the reality is that, you know, they want you to understand the basics all the way up into management. This is not that. This guy can't even set optics up. Or I have to give him one more kudo. He may not even look at the gun. He may not even be looking through the optics.
They may just hand him the rifle for a photo op.
Here, hold the rifle, put a photo op on. But whoever put it together, the person could have just handed it to him who was just the photo guy. And somebody told him to mount the scope. I don't know about the scope. It just clips on here. Okay. So he may have done that. So I don't want to believe that the people that did this and handed him the weapon, you know, were actually trained military personnel. Because if that's the case, we're going to lose. If we have World War III, we're going to lose. It's ridiculous. But the answer to all of it is hire more trannies. You think, well, gosh, Ted, really? Yeah. You know, Boeing now is their inclusion programs have gone berserk. Last night I spoke to a man who's an American. I was at Sun and Fun yesterday. I had the privilege of flying a really nice airplane yesterday. One of our listeners came in and said, hey, you would like to fly a plane with me today? He's a sales guy, and took me up in a really, really pretty plane made in Austria, about a 47-foot wingspan dual engine, and it was a lot of fun. Had a great time. And I went back over to another place where a guy has a hangar at the end of the runway for Sun and Fun. And I was talking to a guy who's the head pilot for Alaskan Airlines, been with them for many, many years, decades. And he said that Alaskan Airlines used to be a Christian-based company. They used to hand out tracts on the serving tray to the people who were inside the plane getting food. He says, now they're not. He says they're owned by BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, and basically it's inclusion again. And he said the same thing is happening all over, but they're putting pilots in the cockpit that aren't fully trained. And then he told me that when the 737 MAX failed, basically the trim tabs couldn't be turned off. They didn't know how to push two buttons down. I mean, here's the deal. If you have a trim tab go bad on you, that's an automatic trim tab, what you do is you turn off the autopilot, you grab your yoke, you turn off the trim tabs, and you fly the plane. This guy apparently who crashed that plane and killed all those people, according to the guy yesterday, I haven't verified this, only had 400 hours of flight time.
Wow.
Yeah, I have more flight time than that, okay? And this guy's a commercial pilot trained in another country, and they get put him behind the controls. And the problem is that, you know, when he got into a situation where he basically had the trim tabs want to push him down because they thought the trim tabs thought the plane was stalling, he didn't know what to do, and it happened twice. And so, but again, you just turn off the autopilot, you pull back on the yoke, you turn off the trim tabs, you fly the airplane. And, you know, I remember my pilot training guys who I've worked with over the years that always say, no matter what happens to you, no matter what happens from an emergency standpoint, fly the airplane. You can't jump up and start screaming and run to the back of the airplane and go, I don't want to fly it anymore. You have to fly the plane. Somebody has to be in the seat flying. And so when you hear all this stuff, you kind of go, wow, this is crazy. But that's what happens. There's a really good article. I don't usually quote these people, but because they're really pushing, well, they're pushing their own agenda, but they're talking about the great death spiral. And, you know, this is Greg Maranio, and, you know, he's talking about what's happening with the debt spiral in the world right now. And he says it's a paradox. Understanding that the world today appears to be debt saturated, the reality is this: there's not enough debt to allow the system to function. Now, you guys are looking at me like, why would you cover this article? Because what he's telling you is true. There's not enough debt to allow the system to function. Now, let me explain to you why. And this is a fact, which is precisely why we are witnessing global debt surge higher at a record pace. The current system is debt-based. It's Keynesian economics. This means that simply to function, more and more debt every single year must be created to increase the money supply to allow solvency to take place and have money changing hands. For a debt-based system to function at the current level, exponentially more debt must be created. Debt creation cannot be linear or flat. It must expand. They taught us this in the MBA program in macroeconomics. The mechanism of constant, relentless debt creation is solely responsible for allowing the current system to function because it increases the money supply. Without this mechanism in place, or should I say, the moment it stops, the entire financial system locks up, which is also known as a credit freeze or a liquidity crisis, which means the M1 isn't there long enough or high enough to maintain liquidity. Now, let me explain to you what this means. Back in the 70s, Nixon did his best to balance the budget when we were leaving the gold standard. When he did that, he basically stopped expanding the credit and stopped expanding the amount of debt the United States government was taking on to a certain degree that caused a massive recession because all of a sudden the money supply tightened up. Let me give you an example. If in 2008 we had about $800 billion in U.S. dollars actually in circulation, that was the actual M1 money supply, with over a quadrillion of debt. So that means the entire quadrillion of debt, you know, had to be, that's thousands of trillions, by the way, had to be maintained and had to function through the $800 billion that was in circulation. It didn't work. That's why we had massive liquidity crisis. And when people started calling these margins in, there wasn't enough money to pay them. That's the fiat-based debt currency system that we currently have that was brought to us in its splendor by the Federal Reserve Bank in 1913. Initially, it starts off with small amounts of debt as they increase the money supply, and the population can absorb that, and it can continue to expand to increase credit lines. But then what ends up happening, eventually, nobody else wants to borrow any more money. Hence the reason they're bringing in so many illegal immigrants into the United States is to create more people who are going to borrow more on credit cards, borrow more bank loans, borrow, increasing the debt, increasing the liquidity crisis, increasing the exponential growth of the M1 money supply. This is how, and this is what happened with the Weimar Republic. They started printing money hand over fist in order to pay off the war reparations from World War I, because they were being subjected to having to pay off the entire war for the entire planet from World War I, and Germany couldn't do it. And so you had massive inflation. It was 40 billion German marks for one loaf of bread, my mom told me. That's bad, okay? And it wasn't possible. So finally they had to issue new money, and they had to readjust the debt. So, and then when Hitler came into power, he basically said, I'm not paying this off. This is a joke. Germany did not start World War I. It started in Austria. Why are we getting stuck with this mess when we never were defeated? We signed an armistice. So you guys go to more look more and more into the Versailles Treaty if you'd like. But that's how this system works, is through debt. You have to get another credit card, another credit card, another credit card, another credit card, and another credit card, and you could never pay off the credit cards because it reduces the M1 supply of money. Clinton found that out too, and he tried to balance the budget. It always puts the country into a recession because suddenly the lenders don't have the liquidity any longer to loan more money out to allow the continued expansion. If I remember right with the Keynesian economic model, the debt has to expand and the money supply has to expand between 5 to 7% per year to maintain liquidity. That's nuts. And so you're saying, well, that's not that big of a deal. It is over a period of 100 years.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to us now, and that's why we found ourselves where we are. Like right now, we have over 150 countries in the world that we give money to. Yeah, Israel, you know, tens of billions of dollars we've given them now, and more than any other country's been Israel. And you're saying, well, why do we do that? Well, they buy their armaments from us, and of course, we're their biggest ally, and they're one of our biggest recipients of debt and all the other things that we hear about. And suddenly you start thinking, wait a minute, why is this happening? So they can do a Gaza genocide, and we have to continue to support them in the Middle East. There's a really good article. In fact, there's a video that I posted last night that you can watch. It's called The Synagogue of Satan. Now, it gets boring as all get out. I have to admit, though, it really gets boring. But, you know, what I talk about, what it talks about in the article, it gets very, very, very interesting because it starts talking about how one of the guys who was called Julian, he took over after Constantine, he was called Julian the Apostate, and his plan to rebuild the Jerusalem temple. It went into detail on this, and I had never even heard of this. Now, I know that's negligent on my part. I guess I'm not history of ancient Rome, but this is like in 323, 337 BC or AD. And I'm going to read you this part of this. Of the Roman empires after Constantine, only Julian, 331 to 363, rejected Christianity in favor of the pagan gods. He was the nephew of Constantine, the first Christian emperor, but he was basically baptized on his deathbed, I'll say that, for Constantine. Julian incurred the wrath of the burgeoning Christian community by deciding to rebuild the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, which had been destroyed by the Roman legions in around 70 AD. Now, this is an interesting story. I've not heard this before. Maybe you guys can fill me in on the blanks there, because it was pretty good. Actually, Constantine was not baptized and therefore not formally converted until he lay on his deathbed. But his spiritual conversion came earlier before he defeated the usurper Maxentius in the Battle of the Mabilian Bridge near Rome 312. Even in Constantine's lifetime, his success in the battle was credited to Christian vision. Supposedly, he ordered the Christian monogram or the cross, the first letters of the Greek name for Christ, be emblazoned on the shields of his soldiers, assuring victory in the event. In any event, Christianity became the official religion of the empire during Constantine's reign. When he died in 337, the empire was divided among his three sons, but eventually won. Constantius became the sole ruler. When he died in 361, he was succeeded by his younger cousin, Julian, who was a pagan. He was not a Christian. He was a student of philosophy as well as a military commander, and he almost immediately proclaimed what he had been keeping secret for years. Although he had been raised a Christian sometime around his 20th birthday, he converted to paganism, adopting a theology based on the teachings of Neoplatonist Lamblicus. Julian, and forgive me for butchering these names, Julian revered gods and the goddesses. So, like most forms of this gets boring. So what he did, he decided, it's boring. I'm not going to keep doing this to you guys. You can read it yourself. I posted this article too. But here's what's interesting in this. He decided he wanted to have the temple rebuilt to basically fly in the face of Jesus. He decided he was going to go in and he was going to rebuild the temple so the Jews could start doing sacrifices. And the Jews were all about it. There's, however, a problem happened when they started rebuilding the temple. Okay, despite these auspicious beginnings, working the temple probably lasted only a few days. Here's why. Numerous reports, both pagan and Christian, attribute to the work stoppage to a fire, perhaps a earthquake. See, when Jesus said that the temple will come down in 3 days, that it'll be done, he was talking about his temple, but he was also talking about the temple in Jerusalem. Because it no longer had to have these animal sacrifices. So here's what happened. Numerous reports, both pagan and Christian, attributed to the work stoppage to the fire. The Roman historian Ammianus Marcellinus reported that terrifying balls of flame kept bursting forth near the foundations of the temple. In other words, when they were trying to build the temple, the workers were being burned to death to stop the enterprise. Now, personally, I think that's God saying, I don't think we're going to do this today. Gregory of Nacianus wrote of the furious blasts of wind and the flame that issued forth from the sacred place. Ephraim noted that there were winds, earthquakes, and lightning that came forth when they tried to rebuild the temple. These Christian descriptions of the event have drawn on biblical passages. And so all of this stuff, in another account that talks about in that video I want you guys to watch, it said that these workers were so scared and so terrified of what was going on, because they couldn't rebuild the temple because they had balls of fire coming out of the ground, that they had to turn around and they ran to a Christian church to hide. And when they entered the Christian church, balls of flames came out of the church. Jeez. To stop them.
Now, this is wild, dude.
So obviously something was wrong with rebuilding this temple. So it stopped abruptly. So then Julian the apostate, he decides, well, that's enough of that, so I'm going to go off to war and start another fight. And he was killed almost immediately. Some people say that one of his Christian soldiers who were standing behind him put a spear through his back. Okay, or whatever. But
friendly fire.
He was killed almost immediately because there was such an outrage against him wanting to rebuild the third temple because they said animal sacrifices were not necessary. They were not necessary because Jesus had already paid the ultimate price. They understood that in 300 AD. Apparently, we don't get that today, as we have people come to our local churches for a temple fund to rebuild the third temple so they can start animal sacrifices again. Why do we want to sacrifice animals when Jesus Christ was sacrificed on a cross for us? In 323, Julian tried this. That's why I found that video fascinating, because that particular comment, they went into detail much more than I just did about this. You can watch the video. It's about an hour long. Good luck. Beginning of it's really boring, but it's part of it. So it's just Julian the apostate and his plan to rebuild the Jerusalem temple, as he was killed almost immediately, and balls of fire came out of the doggone foundations, and earthquakes and horrible gusts of wind and flames came out of the local church when they ran there for refuge. I had never heard any of this stuff. And that's why I looked it up last night, started pulling additional references out on it, and that's why I posted it for you guys. So obviously, God, who I believe was involved in all of this stuff, really doesn't like us wanting to rebuild the third temple. So when we do all of this stuff, can we call Zionism the apostate? I haven't thought about that. Can we call the pastors who are doing this and promoting this agenda the apostate? I mean, some pastors are out there saying that Jews do not have to convert to Christianity in order to be saved. They have their own special, relationship with God. But yet the Old Testament Jewish nation and the New Testament Jewish nation and current Jerusalem and Israel today have nothing to do with the Old Testament, nor do they even follow their Torah in most cases. It's the Babylonian Talmud. So, guys, do your research on this and then ask yourself a question. If you're a Christian, and I know most of you are who are listening to the show, and we basically are supposed to walk in love with everything that we do, why in the world are we sitting here going, why is it okay for genocide and over 30,000 dead? It's probably much higher than that, probably closer to 300,000. Usually it's about 10% gets reported. Probably hundreds of thousands of dead Palestinians, including Christians right now in Gaza. And we sit back and go, yawn, it's okay. Send more money to Israel, give them more arms. What is wrong with this picture? So as Christians, they said they will know that you are my disciples because you love one another. Now, we're supposed to respect other people's religions as Christians. Now, we need to try to convert them so they understand what the truth is with Jesus. That we're not supposed to go out there and start killing them and murdering them and shooting them in cold blood and blowing up churches and blowing up convoys of aid workers with hellfire missiles. Why do we think this is okay? It's not okay. I mean, the American Israeli Political Action Committee is a doggone terrorist organization, as far as I'm concerned, what they do and what they promote and how they control Congress. Now, I'm really going out on, telling you how I feel about this stuff today because I can't stand this kind of stuff.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, no, I'm about to show you my cat picture again. Don't do the cat picture.
No cat picture.
it is what it is here. When we stop and we look at it, and don't get me wrong, I pray for Israel on a regular basis. I pray they convert to Christianity because every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that Jesus is Lord. I pray for almost all the countries like that. It's just, why are we giving money to over 150 countries, Austin, on an ongoing basis when we're running the entire global economy on the U.S. dollar on credit cards? It doesn't make any sense.
The bankers. It's always the bankers.
It always is.
It's always the money lenders.
It's the Luciferian.
The same ones that came in to the original temple that Jesus whipped them and threw them out because they had turned the temple into a den of thieves with all their money changing in unjust scales.
Babylonian money.
That's the same thing. It's funny. When we went to the Bible Museum up in D.C.
Several years ago. Yep.
It was super, super cool area. If you ever get a chance to go up to the Bible Museum, it's actually really cool in D.C. I'm not a huge fan of Washington, D.C.
Get a tour, though.
Get a tour, because it's really cool. If you try to walk through on your own, there's so much information. You don't grasp a lot of it. You do a tour, it makes it a lot better. We did a tour. And what's interesting is one of the top levels when we went through, they had all these different scales and all these different weights and these stones that they would use. And they went in, they talked specifically about how what these banker boys were doing is they were going in and they were having scales with stones that were specific weights. And then they would do is they'd go in and they'd shave the weights down. They'd shave them a small amount, small amount, small amount, small amount. So they'd say, okay, we're putting this stone on here. This is supposed to be 1 ounce of silver. So somebody'd come in and put, the 1 ounce of silver. And they say, oh, no. That's not 1 ounce. That's 0.8 ounces. I know this is 1 ounce of silver. I bought it. I traded it last month. They said, no, it's not 1 ounce of silver. It's 0.8 ounces of silver. Here's our scale. We're the bankers. What we say is gospel. This is what it is. If you don't want it, don't take it. Here, take your silver somewhere else. They go, fine, all right. Let me put another piece on there. Okay, now you got 1 ounce. Okay. And they did this repeatedly, and it got worse and worse and worse. And this is how the bankers continually manipulate things. Because always remember, these banker boys, they don't make anything. They don't produce anything. They don't build anything. All they do is manipulate funds and manipulate cash flow and manipulate the monetary system in order to generate more wealth for themselves out of it. That's why they have the 40-to-1, ratio that they can do as far as you put $100,000 in the bank. They can lend out $4 million on your $100,000 in the bank, and they'll give you, a whopping 3%, 4%, 5% interest back on it. And they lend the $4 million out at 7%, 8%, 9% mortgage rates. That's how they manipulate the funds. It's called fractional reserve banking, and it goes way deeper into that. We start getting into the derivative market. But on a side note, also too, in other news, this is interesting as well. Amazon's AI grocery stores that they're now operating. You guys have seen a lot of this, the Amazon Go stores, where essentially people walk in,
They're monitored 24/7 everywhere they go by cameras, and what they take off the shelf essentially is scanned and monitored, and they walk out of the store. These programs are interesting and take a lot of flack because essentially Amazon has canceled a lot of the just walkout programs, which was employing a significant amount of people. But then to come to find out, they were all in India. They had guys in India that Amazon employed that were monitoring cameras in the United States, watching what every single person picks and buys and takes off the shelf and then puts in their cart. The problem is now Amazon has now found out that this wasn't efficient enough, so now they're going to more platforms as far as to monitor and record everybody. Now they have the Amazon One platform you see now where essentially you scan your hand and you don't have to have your credit card, you don't have to have a cell phone, you don't have to have cash. You just go in, grab what's in your cart, scan your hand on it, and you walk out. It's all biometric payment. Getting people more conditioned to this type of payment system is exactly what, again, the banker boys are wanting everybody to do, because essentially at some point in time, what happens when you go to check out and they go, oh, sorry, your outdated hand scan shows that you haven't had your COVID vaccine or whatever topic they want to bring up. This is where it goes, and this is what happens when cashless societies start to incur. Also, to another news, speaking of more control and other stupid things that are happening around the world, officials in Europe now have issued a warning about the human impact of the avian bird flu. The European Safety Authority made public warning now, highlighting the observations between birds and mammals with the bird flu. They said transmissions have been observed in fur animal farms where outbreaks have been reported. They're saying now the risk of bird flu infection to humans remains low, but everybody needs to be on the lookout. And now, and then to take it a step further, you wonder what the agenda is. You get it in plain sight. A former FDA, the United States Department of Agricultural Food Safety advisor, is now warning against consumption of steak and eggs due to the bird flu. They're saying now anything that's basically considered rare, undercooked, you need to avoid immediately. Or if you can, avoid beef and eggs because of the bird flu. They're now saying if you are going to eat any type of beef or eggs, they need to be extremely well done and essentially overcooked to make sure you kill that pesky virus that could possibly be in your beef, giving you that bird flu that they're telling everybody is running around now. Again, it always is funny, isn't it? Every single time something happens with a virus, anytime something occurs with this, they always want to cut out beef and eggs. It's always ironic. It's always beef and eggs, beef and eggs. And at the same time, you got Bill Gates that's now top-tier investor in the fake egg market now, where they actually, if you see this, they have calcium carbonate shells with this fake plant protein yolk in egg. They're literally fake eggs. You crack them, they look like eggs, they cook like eggs, they're completely fake eggs. Well, of course, they're saying it's good for the environment. It's for your safety and protection. You need to eat your fake eggs. And, of course, we've already talked about the fake beef that they've been running around, the fake meat and the plant-based beef. And now essentially the cancer tumor beef that they've come out now where they take, you know, cell cultures of beef and they cook in a petri dish and grow it like a tumor and then chop it up, box it, make it look nice and pretty, put it in a bag and tell you you need to go eat it for your safety, of course. And again, this is why it's really important to do research on what you're eating and what you're putting in your body. Another study has come out now discussing colorectal cancer is striking young people more than they've ever seen in history. They said the incident rate of colorectal cancer decreased by nearly half. However, among young people under 50, the rates have more than doubled. They go on to say here that essentially overall colorectal cancer incidences among young are continually skyrocketing now. They go on to say here that essentially they're contributing this to the massive amount of toxicity the younger generation is being exposed to all the way from birth, essentially, to when they start getting their 20s and 30s. And so they go into detail and they're talking about how microplastics, how the glyphosate, how the pesticides, how the herbicides, how the all these different compounds that are being exposed to is that the older generation may still be eating that. However, a lot of them were not exposed to this stuff at an early age like we are now, where you have children where they're being exposed to glyphosate at birth or in utero. They're drinking out of these plastic bottles that are super soft, getting these microplastics. They're being exposed to all these types of preservatives in food with high fructose corn syrup and aspartame and sucralose. So we're having a generation now that has been so toxic their entire life that they're coming down with cancer, various different types of cancer, at a rapid rate. Another thing they're saying now here is they said prostate cancer cases are expected to double globally by 2040. They said they expect an 85% increase in prostate cancer mortality over the next 14 years. And again, this is another thing you have going on here, where you start having a toxicity exposure build up. This is why it's so important, again, that we talked about last week, the D3-10,000. So many people are deficient in D3. And the more I research, the more I talk to people, the more I see lab work from customers and individuals that come in and been having health problems, you find almost invariably people that are having these issues, like I just discussed, and a host of other health problems. It always, always, always shows that they have low D3. Now, I'm not saying that D3 is the end-all, be-all. I'm not making any claims. But what I'm saying is those two are correlated. Low D3 levels and increased risk of health problems, they are correlated. Now, we've seen that in enough research. I've talked about it. It was interesting. We got a bunch of comments on Team Health Masters. I was looking through them earlier, and one person, they posted a comment. They said to the D3, they said, a great product. I have seen a lot of medical problems that I had before taking this product disappear. I heal faster. I used to have problems retaining water on my legs. It's completely gone away since taking this product. Another person put on there, they said, I love this product. I was vitamin D deficient. The doctor didn't explain how important vitamin D was. We heard about it on the show. Love the talk show. And then other people talked about one here. They said it raised their D3 from 31 to 98, which 98 is pretty high. But again, remember, that's why it's so important to monitor your blood work. Because our products do work. They work very effectively. And again, that's why it's so important to maintain those levels in your body and know what's going on. And if need be as well, run a detox program. That's what the GHI cleanse. I still got that can in here from earlier. I was using a shake out of it. The GHI cleanse is so crucial at detoxing the body, getting the liver cleaned out, getting the kidneys cleaned out, and getting the colon cleaned out, and making sure you're flushing those toxins out of your body. That's one of the main things I always talk about with individuals, especially younger people, when they're having a lot of issues with hormones, or it's not hormones, with acne, which is related a lot of times to hormones, the acne is. However, in a lot of other cases, people find, and I've told this to young kids, that acne a lot of times stems down to a toxicity issue because skin is the largest eliminating organ in the body. So when you start to talk to a lot of young kids that are having acne problems, you'll find invariably they're almost always eating a copious amount of sugar, especially sugary drinks, sodas, fruit juice, energy drinks, my gosh, energy drinks, coffee, and you start finding the more you build up those toxic compounds in your body and you're having all these different hormonal changes as a young teenager, young adult, you'll find that the issues with acne are really systemic and they go together. You clean up your diet, you start drinking adequate water, you start making sure you're getting adequate exercise, you cut those toxins out of your diet, you're in a detox like the GHI cleanse. I've seen so many positive things happen internally because remember, most cases, acne is an issue that comes from internally. Now, obviously, you can have issues with exposure to certain compounds or dirt, debris. That's a different story. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the hormonal issues and toxicity issues with acne. Just wanted to cover that in detail here. Also, too, in other news, this is something that I was looking at earlier. And it was a really good article. And it talks about how the only realistic way of preventing a communistic takeover of the United States, the last holdouts are Patriot sheriffs with the Patriot community behind them. This is a really interesting article and spot on with a lot of this stuff. They talk about this. This is on Burning Platform. They said only the sheriff patriots are in a position to prevent a full-blown communist takeover of our republic. And it goes into detail. It says numerous sheriffs in all 50 states have already stated their intent not to enforce illegal gun control laws that were deemed unconstitutional. Many have voiced similar intentions not to make any arrests by violating various unlawful COVID mandates and illegal orders. There's roughly 3,143 counties, and that equivalents throughout the United States that represents the last bulwark against tyrannical U.S. federal governments. Essentially, that means there's around 3,100 sheriffs, and those sheriffs have deputies, and those deputies are usually involved with the communities, and those communities have patriots that can also support certain individuals in certain areas that are going on. It is crucial that you know, if you're interested in these things that are going on, you know who your sheriff is, you know their viewpoints, and you know their background. I cannot emphasize that anymore because that's a huge point. If something happens and something occurs, are they going to have your back? Or are they going to be significant opposition? The perfect example of this just in recently was in Albuquerque. We talked about it over in New Mexico when that insane, out-of-control, dictatorial governor said, we're putting a mandate. This is a new mandate in place. Nobody's allowed to carry firearms lawfully. Nobody can carry them concealed or non-concealed. nobody's allowed to carry because, well, you have roving gangs that are running around with machine pistols doing drive-by shootings. Huh. So if we tell everybody that you're not allowed to carry firearms, well, the gang members with their full-auto machine pistols, they're going to listen, right? They're going to listen, and, you know, hopefully they listen. Well, they may not listen because actually they're criminals, but law-abiding citizens, they'll know that you guys are unarmed, and so it'll fix everything. 300 patriots descended on the Capitol, armed, very well armed. Sheriff said, nah, bro. We're not getting involved in this. This is illegal for the governor to do this. We're going to stand down. You guys lawfully protest. You open carry, which you can legally do in that state. You do your thing. As long as you're being peaceful and not starting any violence, we're not going to get involved with you guys because, quite frankly, that is your right to do so, and that is your right to express that your rights are being violated by an out-of-control governor. Stand your ground, speak your mind, and make your voice heard. Very, very important. And know who your sheriffs are. What do you think?
And of course that is. And
oh, wow.
And of course that order was rescinded by the governor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because she realized that the sheriffs weren't going to back her.
Right.
You know, it's funny to me. You know, the sheriff in the state is the number one law person in the state other than the governor.
Yeah.
The only person that can remove a sheriff is the governor.
Is the governor.
And so it's funny. I remember years ago we had the Lakeland Police Department. I was speaking to the police commissioner over there, and she was complaining, but it's a long story. I'm not going to go into it. And I finally said to her, I said, look, I said, if you don't think that Grady Judd has the authority to do whatever he wants to do in this state, why don't you go arrest him?
Yeah.
Grady Judd's our sheriff. And she goes, well, I can't do that. So I know you can't do that. I said, because he's above you. And I said, so just chill out on all this stuff, because that was when Lakeland Police was found to be unbelievably
cool. Out of control.
And Grady went in and cleaned it all up. I got to give him credit for that. In fact, just the other day, I was watching Fox News, which I don't really watch. I was at the barbershop. It was on. And they were interviewing Governor DeSantis. And he was talking about how we have all these immigrants coming in now, and they're basically jumping in people's houses and saying, you know, we have a right to be here. You can't throw us out. We have squatters' rights.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. DeSantis looked at the camera and said, why don't you try that in Polk County with Grady Judd?
He said that.
He said, and you'll see what happens. That's what he said. And I just started to laugh because he and Grady are good friends. He said, that ain't happening.
That's our county, by the way.
That's our county. And I started to laugh at it. He goes, that's not going to happen. He says, we have people who have vacation homes. They come down here every winter and they leave the house empty for 8 or 9 months.
Yeah.
And he goes, they don't want squatters when they come back in. He says, that won't happen in Polk County because of the sheriff. So Austin's right about this. You know, when you have a sheriff who's a constitutional sheriff like Grady Judd is, who's a patriot, who's a great guy like Grady, who's biblically based, you know, that's what you want in your county. You don't want to have some liberal sheriff that's going to give the rights away to the people that are basically squatting in a home because you weren't there for a week. I mean, think about it. You go on vacation for a couple of weeks, you go up to the mountains or whatever, you come back and you got squatters in your house. Now you got your furniture in your house. They're in the house sitting on your furniture, eating your food, having yard
trash in the house.
And they're having yard sales out front selling your furniture. and you're like, who? And you show up and you go, what are you doing? And I said, we live here. No, you don't. You moved in here 2 weeks ago. No, we have a lease.
We're selling your furniture, too. We don't like it.
Yeah, and we need an inspector cast, so we're liquidating your stuff. And by the way, you can't come in here because it's illegal for you. You have to go through illegal eviction proceedings because we have a fake lease.
Yeah, fake lease. That's just
mind-boggling to me they're doing this. So by the way, yesterday I talked about we're going to cover the 12 ways that Biden is destroying the United States. It's interesting because it's not all listed here. Part of it is listed, part of it is not. I kind of want to cover a few of them. It says we no longer are a sovereign country. And I like the way he said this. Biden's handlers have erased our borders. They're not saying Biden erased the borders.
Biden can't even talk. He just shuffled around.
His handlers. And so he says we're talking about actually 12 million aliens in the past 40 months and over 30 million more here since 1986. And again, people are saying it's good for the economy because these people have to create more debt. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the show. Number two, we are being hung out to death with the Congress's $34 trillion debt. President John Adams says there are two ways to defeat a country, by the sword or by the debt. We are in a hell of a mess with this gargantuan debt that will destroy our economic foundation. Number three, Biden's handlers are giving Iran and the China keys, money, and power to destroy us. They're giving Iran and China. Stop. Okay, Iran does not have a Rothschild-controlled central bank. I'm disagreeing at this point. China is run by the Rothschild banking cartels, and China and Iran are being used as scapegoats to cover up the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan-controlled money supply. Just mentioning that. whether it was Hunter's son gaining millions by his father's vice president status or Biden's sheer corruption over the past 50 years in Congress, Iran and China have given him, have him. That means we're all screwed. Number four, I'm reading what it says. Our identity is now defined by dozens of opposing tribes. That's a fact. Transgenders are one. We've got so many other tribes in our country, we're no longer Americans. Millions of us identifying as something other than American, Hansen said. And sure, each identity group rivals others for victimhood, and the state spoils its coffers. Reboot all political issues by race and sex, oppressors and oppressed. Destroy all standards of admission, retention, promotion, and recommendation, especially in the university systems. And number five, change crime from a crime to a social issue. Do not punish criminals. Reward them. Allow $100 billion, I don't realize it's that much, $100 billion in shoplifting annually with no prosecution.
Golly.
And no arrest if it's under $1,000 in some states. Allow 100,000 drug overdoses annually by keeping the borders wide open. Allow American money to the tune of $120 billion annually to fly out of the country while people come into our country and transfer cash back out of their country. Invest in no bail, no jail, and it's okay to shoot and kill police officers. That's what's happening in America in 2024. Turn the Army, the Navy, the Marines, and the Air Force, and the Coast Guard into a bunch of transgenders, gays, illegal aliens, mentally deficient, mentally unfit discontents who can't fight their way out of a paper bag. The fact today our military is more worried about a transgender's choice of uniform, such as a lady's skirt and high heels on the DNA male, rather than a man with a pair that's trained to defend America with his life. Wow. But I was politically incorrect. That's right there. Because he says, the Hansen continues to say, he's quoting him, the deliberately impugn as racist and insurrectionist the largest demographic in our military who in recent wars died at twice their numbers in population, so they'd leave or never join the military again, including their children want to never leave or join the military again, encourage retired high officers to slander the commander-in-chief, cut the defense budget, stop producing sufficient weapons, but leave billions of dollars worth of arms to terrorists. The fact is somebody like General Miley left $90 billion worth of military hardware in Afghanistan. That wasn't a mistake. It was Biden's handlers totally in control and out to kill America. I wanted to just read you this thing. Now, that's as far as he goes into his 12 steps. But then I wanted to read one more thing here about Saul Alinsky. His doctor, remember, he was, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, they were all Saul Alinsky devotees. He's a high-level communist. And here's what he says. You got to take over a country's health care, control the health care, control the people. That's the pharmakia that the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation. Number two, poverty. Increase the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you're providing everything for them to live. Man, is that the truth? If you've got a person who basically can't pay their bills, can't buy food for their family, they're going to do whatever you tell them to do. They're going to do whatever you want because they're going to say, I don't have the ability to fight back. If I say anything, they're going to cut my aid off, and I won't have the ability to eat tomorrow. I hate to say it. This is a really good plan. It's horrible they're doing this to us, but this is good. Debt. Increase the debt to an unsustainable level. That way you are able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty. Number four, gun control. Remove the ability to defend themselves from the government. That way you are able to create a police state. Because the police have to defend everything, including, like Austin said, over there in Albuquerque. Let's say that you can't carry a gun if you're a legal human being, but all the gangs can carry machine pistols, so you're not able to defend yourself. So the sheriff and the police have to come in and try to defend you against the gangs, machine gunning you to death. Welfare, take control of every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income. Now, more and more articles are coming out that BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard are the ones that are responsible for this giant building boom across the United States to house illegal aliens. We told you this years ago. Now it's coming out.
Well, one thing I want to add on that, because this is quick. This is what I've talked about. I've had a couple conversations with people in real estate, especially down here in Florida, and they say, well, there's a housing shortage. How are we having a housing shortage? Where are all the people coming from to create a housing shortage? The United States growth, actual organic growth from birth, is going into the negative. So how in the heck are we having a housing shortage if the actual growth of the organic growth in the United States population is going down? There's only one answer to that, and that is the illegals that they're bringing in.
That's exactly right. Next is number five is welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives. Number six, education. Take control of what people read and listen to. Take control of what children learn in school. They don't want you to watch the video I posted last night on the Synagogue of Satan on YouTube. It'll probably take it down pretty quick, so you need to go look at it real fast. and you know, religion, remove the belief in God from the government and schools. Go ahead and do the Johnson Amendment back in the 50s so that the churches can't talk about what's going on politically. Very, very important that you stop the pastors in the pulpit from being the black-robed clergy like they were with the Revolutionary War. They don't want that. Make it very, very simple with the churches. Do a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it doctrine in which we don't think about Jesus and Christ crucified, and make sure you take the crosses out of the church. I'm here to tell you something. If you're going to a church that have a cross somewhere in that church, on the wall somewhere, I'd look for another church personally. I mean, that's the symbol of what Christ did for us. It's the symbol of him dying and being resurrected for us. Why in the world have they taken that off the wall? That's because they don't want you to think about that. They want you to think about the positive part of Christianity. I was in church on this past Sunday, and I'm looking for a cross. I'm trying to find a cross. There's no cross anywhere. And I'm like, what the heck's going on with this church? Why isn't there a cross anywhere? Well, because they don't want you to think about what Christ did. They just want you to be happy, happy all the time. And I like Joel Osteen, and he's a friend of mine, and I haven't spoken to him in years, probably because about what I'm about to say, which I said before, well, honestly, is that, you know, we basically are in a situation where, you know, he's promoting that inclusive doctrine, that inclusive gospel, in which he said that basically, you know, there are other ways to the Father but by Jesus. I mean, he said that to Larry King. I mean, I don't even believe he said that. And, you know, and so, you know, we're trying to be all happy, happy all the time. God's a sovereign God. But when the Israelites were basically, you know, Moses was up on the mountain and they had escaped Egypt, and they started having human sacrifices down there with the golden calf. Moses came down and was pretty hacked off. God was pretty hacked off, and he killed a whole bunch of them. The same God. It's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Always remember that. He doesn't like this stuff. Class warfare. Divide the people into wealthy and to the poor, and this will cause more discontent, and it will be easier to take tax from the wealthy to support the poor because the poor will vote for the tax increases to take the money from the wealthy. I saw that on an airplane years ago. I told you guys the lady on the plane beside me was a hardcore, you know, Teddy Kennedy Democrat. And she basically said they want you to tax everybody at 90%. So I don't have to work. So you will work and support me. I never heard that come out of a human being's mouth before until she said that to me. And I was shocked. I really didn't believe people were that stupid. Now, one more article I want to discuss with you, officer, right quick. And this is very, very strange. And I'm not really sure how to even talk about this. It was sent to me last night by one of you guys. And by the way, I'm all caught up on my emails now at the AskDrTedB@yahoo.com. But Wisconsin engineer Nicole Moo takes stand at a murder trial to describe how he stabbed five teens in self-defense with a Swiss Army knife. And this wasn't a, you know, K-bar. This is a Swiss Army knife, which has like a can opener on all the rest of it.
They're actually quite effective as far as using different things.
If you were going to run around wanting to stab people, you wouldn't basically be carrying a Swiss
Army knife. Okay? Absolutely not. That's, no.
Swiss Army knife during a tubing day out at Apple River after they taunted him with pedophile claims because he was out there taking pictures of whatever. They said he was a pedophile. And this guy basically was on his tube. He brought the Swiss Army knife because they were bringing a rope with him to tie the tubes together. He could cut the knots off so they could all do things.
And these
guys start saying he's a pedophile. Well, he's not a pedophile. He's an engineer. Well, I really don't know his sexual preference, but I don't believe him. I don't know what he is, okay? Well, they attack him. These guys attack him and push him.
How many? Five?
Five.
Five.
They jumped him. These were teenagers. One of them was 19. I don't know how old the rest of them were. And they have an interview with him on here. And they pushed him under the water to try to drown him. Okay? He comes up with the Swiss Army knife and starts cutting.
I mean, if that's the way the situation went, I can't
remember. Remember, he's in Wisconsin. That's extremely, you know, he says the man who stabbed a group of teens in a Wisconsin river has described how he feared for his life after they surrounded him like a wolf, like a pack of wolves. He took the stand on Tuesday on charges of first-degree intentional homicide over the attack.
No,
listen to this. This is why I'm reading this. So I want to know, you guys send me emails on this one.
First-degree intentional homicide.
Yep. The engineer attacked the group with a Swiss Army knife after they heckled him and taunted him with pedophile chants. They attacked him. They pushed him under the water. You know, when asked Tuesday about the violent confrontation that left the 17-year-old Isaac Schumann dead from the stab wounds to the chest, Moose said that he had tunnel vision and was in a fog during the heated situation. He said that prior to confrontation, he had volunteered to look for a friend's lost phone in the water before he interacted with the teenagers. So this guy who basically was the attacker. But what was interesting about this is it said, as he was shown in the pictures from the day of the attack, Moose said he was touched by Madison Creek County. Okay, they jumped him, okay, before the knife was drawn. And what happened here is interesting because this guy who had the knife had already had open heart surgery a couple years earlier.
How old was he?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't look at that. But he already had open heart surgery, so he was probably in his 50s, and he looked like he's in his 50s. But the problem, and he was very out of shape, and he basically pulled the knife as he was being pushed under the water, according to the witnesses that were there. And now they are basically charging him with first degree murder, which I don't even understand how they
would
do that.
That's what I mean, yeah, because premeditated his intent was to go out there and stab him.
But remember, with Wisconsin, they are super liberal.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess if five people attack you on a river and try to drown you, okay, after they were taunting you and try to hold you under the river, I guess for kicks and giggles, after you've had a heart attack and, you know, bypass surgery, I guess you're supposed to let them go ahead and kill you rather than defending yourself, or you're going to be put on trial for first-degree murder. Now, I don't know the ifs, ands, and the buts about this case, but the problem is this. How in the world are you being charged with first-degree murder? We're talking life in prison
here. Oh, yeah, that's
so,
the wife.
So
there.
I want to hear it. Now, this is what I want you to write me about. I want you to write me, what do you think? What would you do if you're on a river expedition on tubes? Let's put it back to where it is. And suddenly people start calling you names, start accusing you of stuff, and suddenly they attack you and hold you under the water, and you happen to have a Swiss Army knife, and you decide not to pull the can opener out, and you pull the blade out.
Yeah.
As you're underwater, I guess. I don't know what happened with all this. He's saying he blacked out. What in the world do you do when someone's trying to hold you under the water? What do you think, Austin? I don't know how to answer
I don't know. I mean, the thing about it is this first-degree murder charge. I mean, that's absolutely insanity. I mean, I know when I was younger, you know, I lived in the lake. You know, I lived in the lake. And I remember many a times, you know, we'd be out there horse playing. And I remember us holding each other down and we're fighting and just being kids. But again, we all knew each other and we were all friends. But, I mean, it's a creepy feeling when you're fighting or wrestling with somebody and you're pinned under the water. They're on top of you when you're under the water. It's not a good feeling. It's very stressful and you do panic. I'm not going to lie. We've had that happen before. Or we're on the dock and somebody jumps in the water and you're in the water and you get landed on. I've had that happen too, but I get knocked out. All these different things happen on the water. And so what's interesting about this is, this guy's an older adult, and these kids jump him. I don't know.
He said he added that during this horror situation, he was punched in the face by one of the teens and was pushed down in the water to drown.
Yeah. So, and I mean, the thing is, you got to also look at intent. You got to look at the weapon. You know, a Swiss Army knife is not really a true like combat knife. I mean, it's a multi-purpose tool. I mean, if he had an out-the-front combat blade or he had a K-bar or something like that strapped to him, you know, he starts pulling out. He just starts going, you know, wound, wound, kill, and just starts going after everybody. I'd be like, okay, you know, but I mean, dude, I don't know. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
He was charged with first-degree intentional homicide after the human died.
First degree. I don't understand where that one's coming from on there.
He was charged with attempted first-degree intentional homicide for their injuries.
Send that to Harrison.
Yeah, I mean, I will.
Send that to Harrison. See what his take on. I see what my brother thinks about
this. Is just, you know, I mean, this is crazy. Again, it goes back to what county do you live in?
That's exactly what, and we talk about this all the time as far as the counties, because, you know, get like this exact example. You get a situation like this where you got five people that jump you in the water and you end up doing something to, you know, defend yourself. I don't know. Crazy. Also, too, in other news, this is another study that came out now involving iodine. We talk about iodine all the time. You know, we have the molecular iodine. We also have the potassium iodine with selenium. I was reading the ingredient list here, and we also have the regular iodine in the thyroid support. And the iodine we get from this comes from organic Icelandic kelp, which, by the way, is not cheap to get a hold of, but it works really, really good. It actually is much more absorbable and bioavailable than most forms of iodine. It's very, very effective, so we don't have to take as much of it in the thyroid support. They're talking about how iodine is a trace mineral that plays a crucial role in several physiological functions in the body, and it talks about iodine deficiencies can cause serious health problems, and that a vast majority of people, like D3, are deficient in iodine. They said healthy levels of iodine are essential for proper function of several organs, including the thyroid, the brain, the liver, the kidneys. They say with the brain, iodine plays a key role in cognitive functioning, including gross motor function, memory, and comprehension. Iodine also seems to play an important role in the body's immune response by improving the ability of white blood cells to kill bacteria, viruses, and decreasing inflammation. This is one of the main reasons why we talked about back during COVID, when people were taking the immune stack and they're taking the vitamin C and the D3 and the zinc. I always told people in most cases, if you're starting to come down with something, and you don't have to do this all the time, you don't want to megadose it all the time, but you megadose on the iodine for about 2 or 3 days. You run about 3 or 4 capsules per day. Now, you'll notice a lot of times when you take that, you'll feel your body temperature actually go up because your thyroid starts getting very active and your body also starts turning, basically giving itself a temperature and starts fighting off the virus. But I've seen that numerous times with high dose levels of iodine like that right out the gate really helps get your body under control and starts fighting that, especially when using in conjunction with the vitamin C, the D3, and the zinc. And so, again, I want to bring that up on here because iodine is such a crucial role in the body and what it does for the thyroid and a host of other organs, including the brain. And so it's really, really important to maintain overall health on that. And again, that's why I said, if you're looking at something to maintain thyroid function, be sure to check out the thyroid support as it's on sale right now for over 12% off. And also too, on the webpage, be sure to vote for what you want to see win for product of the week. Next week, I went ahead and I threw a product on there up for vote that I know is kind of popular. It's the magnesium brain food.
You know it's going to win.
It's already like leading by a landslide. I want to see what it would do. I love product of the week, quite frankly, because it gives you guys a chance to engage with us and let us know what products you like and then give us feedback on them. Do you like this? Do you like that about it? Do you like the flavor? Do you want something different? Because there are products that we do tweak sometimes. However, when we get them dialed in like we do with the magnesium brain food, we don't touch that formula anymore. That product worked way too good and tastes way too good.
Oh, by the way, it wasn't Wisconsin. It was Minnesota. And apparently multiple teens involved in this were drinking and were drunk. So that makes everything better. And he'd never been in trouble with the law before. This guy was an immigrant out of Romania. Now that I've actually got the whole story kind of complete now in my head, I should have read this before the show. Sorry about that. And so, but it's just
the first degree homicide still to that one.
It was sent to me last night by one of the listeners. He wanted me to report on it. I told him that I would. And I should have read the entire transcript last night. But the sad part about this is that, you know, when do you call, what was the name of the guy who shot those guys with that AR-15 when they
attacked? Oh, Rittenhouse.
I mean, he was found not guilty, you know, but the whole thing about it is he was, you know.
Oh, but he got drunk through trial. I mean, that was a mess, man, for a while.
Well, I mean, but the thing about it is when someone's attacking you, where do you say, I'm going to defend myself with lethal force? I mean, it's an Swiss Army knife. I guess we need to ban Swiss Army knives now.
Oh, and spoons.
Yeah,
spoons make people fat.
Baseball bats are not. We don't need bats anymore either.
No baseball bats.
So that's the stupidity of taking the Second Amendment away. This is a Swiss Army knife. So it's just it's wild to me. This is actually happening, and we see it. But again, liberals do what liberals do.
Liberals do what liberals do. This is why, again, it's really important to know your county sheriff, to know what state you're in, and to realize and understand that a lot of these things that happen, you got to be aware of them. You got to be versed on them, so you can understand ramifications and consequences that happen a lot of these things, because stuff like this, the problem is when stuff like that happens, I've been in so many fights when I was younger, when stuff like that happens, dude, it happens fast. And you get somebody that's,
and it's over with
fast. It's over with fast. Yeah. And so the thing about it is whenever you have something like that happen, you know, you got to handle the situation the best you possibly can. So again, that's why we get you guys the truth here every single day. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting the truth out there. We couldn't do this without you. We do this for you guys. And this is the reason why we have zero commercials on this show. I hate commercials.
I've got one commercial. I do. I want to thank Dirk yesterday for letting me fly that plane. He's a great guy. I had a great time talking to him.
If you guys maybe you're down here for Sun and Fun this weekend, come on down. We'll be out there as well. Stop by the Health Master's office if you guys are in Florida. We love meeting everybody. We love seeing everybody. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Be sure to check out the product of the week, the thyroid support. Read up on it. Give a comment on it on Instagram, Team Health Masters. If you already take it and you like it, give us some feedback. Have a fantastic night, my friends. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.
Love you guys. Really appreciate you. Thank you for your prayers. I love praying for you, and I really appreciate the support. If it wasn't for you guys, we couldn't be here. God bless.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.